This is the Planning Commission work session for Thursday, August 16th, 2018.
We're not waiting for anybody.
No, I think this is it. And with your permission, my comment, community planning will be the discussion tonight on lifting of urban borders. So I'll turn it over to Matt.
Ron, I need to recuse myself, so I'm going to leave the room. I'll take the rest of the pizza with me.
Okay, don't go far.
I'll be around the corner somewhere.
All right.
So I'll wait for Bill.
No, Bill's recusing himself, so.
Yeah, but he's still.
Okay. Can introduce the topic, we'll be okay.
Okay. So my name is Matt Herman. I'm a planner with Clark County Community Planning. Today I'll be discussing with you the proposal to remove urban holding on approximately 40 acres in the I-5 179th interchange area. My presentation is broken up to three different categories. One, a broad overview of urban holding in Clark County. The process and proposal to remove urban holding, and your schedule in which to review the proposal. So the urban holding overlay is placed on property when it's brought into the urban growth boundary. It protects areas from premature land division and development that would preclude efficient transition to urban development or large-scale industrial development. The urban holding overlay is implemented by urban holding 10, for residential and urban holding 20 for commercial and industrial zones. Removing the urban holding overlay must be consistent with special implementation procedures that are in Chapter 14 of our comprehensive plan. That chapter is our procedural guidelines. It's also required to go through the Type 4 process of which we're starting to. Smaller cities, urban holding is removed through annexation. When I say smaller cities, I mean all of the cities except for Vancouver. So the urban holding map and zoning overlays were applied to the West Fairgrounds and the East Fairgrounds area in 2004 and 2007. 2004 and 2007 is when the expansion of the Vancouver urban growth area occurred. The urban holding overlay was placed on the land because of the transportation infrastructure lacked adequate capacity to accommodate that urban level development. In 2008, the county approved a circulation plan for the areas that would distribute the urban traffic efficiently to regional transportation facilities. 2016, Washington State Legislature awarded $50 million for improvements at the I-579 interchange. That allocation of $50 million by the Washington State Legislature was put in the state's biennium budget in the 2023/25. Those 40 acres are commonly owned by Three Creeks LLC. Three Creeks LLC also owns property directly to the south of the urban holding overlay area and south of 179 to 173rd Street, as well as a smaller parcel east of 15th Avenue and south of 179th. The urban holding overlay on these properties only applies to the 2.5 parcels that are shaded in green here. You can't see my cursor. Here. So there's a parcel here, and one long parcel here. This long parcel has split zoning with mixed use to the north and commercial to the south. The urban holding is consistent with the zoning changes. The properties, on December 8, 2012, the property owner and the county entered into a development agreement for the property south of 179th Street at the intersection of 15. So these properties and this property. The development agreement in 2012 reserved trips and required off-site mitigation associated with the development of the of a conceptual commercial site. It's recorded under the Clark County Auditor. The trips reserved in 2012 development agreement consumed the remaining capacity for those trips in the I-5 179th Street interchange area and volunteered transportation mitigation to accommodate the additional impacts. As of the date today, no application for developer commercial center has been submitted and no off-site transportation mitigation has occurred. Three Creeks LLC, after the 2012 development agreement was approved, purchased those three parcels that are under urban holding. As I mentioned, the zoning and comprehensive plan designations. So the properties are currently vacant, and so they don't have any structures on the properties. Proposed development of the properties includes 200 single-family homes and 326 apartment units. Those residential units generate approximately 402 vehicular trips in the PM hour or rush hour.
And Matt, that's only for the phase one component that we're talking about?
Correct.
Not the entire shaded area, only that?
Only the urban holding property.
Okay.
The development agreement associated with this proposal seeks to remove the urban holding overlays, reserve transportation capacity for future development of the three specific parcels, and to provide certain improvements to increase the transportation capacity of the area. As I mentioned previously, in 2012, the development agreement that was approved, Three Creeks LLC consumed the transportation capacity and all available trips for the I-5 interchange area. So with that, the draft development agreement that will run concurrent with this proposal seeks to reallocate those trips reserved in the 2012 development agreement and apply those trips to the proposed residential development currently designated with the urban holding. So the development agreement associated with this, since no development has occurred, no mitigation requirements have been built, they want to reallocate the trips that they reserved under that 2012 agreement and place them on the parcels under urban holding. This reallocation of trips is permitted under Clark County Code 4350.050M, which stipulates that the trips calculated for the commercial development south 179 will not be available until 5 years after the agreement of the reallocated trips is recorded. So when they reallocate those trips to the north urban holding, that south parcel on which the trips were originally reserved are not allowed to be available until 5 years. Additionally, the draft development agreement would require construction and dedication of an eastbound to southbound right turn lane on 179th at 15th Avenue. That's this intersection. This required construction and dedication mitigates the direct impacts of the contemplated residential development as determined by the developer's traffic study and confirmed by Clark County Public Works. As I mentioned previously, this urban holding area is in the Vancouver urban growth area. That Vancouver urban growth area has a specific stipulation within our comprehensive plan plan, which you see here. The completion of localized critical links and intersection improvements are reasonably funded, as shown on the county's six-year transportation improvement program, worked through a development agreement. That development agreement mechanism is the one that we'll see before you during the program. Also, when for those holding areas prior to preliminary development, execution of a generic covenant indicating property owner or subsequent owner shall support annexation to the city. The comprehensive plan identifies criteria that must be met in order to remove the urban holding zoning overlay and authorize the implementation of the underlying zone. County may remove the urban holding overlay from the appropriate areas of sufficient size that the county can collect transportation-related data, analyze the cumulative transportation impacts, and address the mitigation to these impacts. The criteria that you'll use to evaluate this proposal will be found under Clark County Code 40.516.010G. This is a slide showing the status and schedule of other development agreements. You'll notice that this proposal in front of you is titled Phase 1. The Killian properties have three of the six development agreements that we have been turned into the county. The Killian 60,000 square feet retail is the development agreement that was executed in 2012. It includes 60,000 square foot retail center on this property to the east of 15th Avenue and to the south of 179. The Three Creeks North Phase 1 is the one that will be before you on September 6th. The Phase 2 is the commercial center, which is right here, of which they are deferring or reallocating the trips. Holt, Mill Plain PUD, Hitton property, and Wollen property are outside of this proposal, but within the urban holding of the 179th area. Those are subsequent development agreements and developments that will require development agreements in order for the urban holding.
So are we saying those, that bottom three bullets, there's no trips allocated for them at this time?
Correct.
We'll be reviewing and we'll be reviewing their submittal as well as their mitigation for their impacts to a DA when we get there.
Okay, and are all of those proposals south of 179th?
No. Here, I can show them.
I can show them.
There you're back.
So the Killian Three Creeks area is what I showed in red previously. Holt is north of 179th, east of 29th Avenue, I believe is here. No, this is 50th Avenue. There's 29th. The Hinton property is here, and the Wollen property is west of 179th. Thank you. So the hearing is scheduled for September 6th at 6:30 in the hearing room. The Clark County Council will review your proposal afterwards sometime in the fall. I don't know exactly. That date has yet to be scheduled. Want to get a little bit more into the details of the 179th interchange project. That was the $50 million that was allocated to Washington DOT. Currently, there's traffic modeling that's forecasting the future transportation and the impacts to that interchange. The design is predicated based on the future forecasting and the overall improvements that are associated with that new interchange, new or improved interchange. The practical design process for that modeling is estimated to be completed at the end of this year. Earlier this year, the legislature awarded an additional $500,000 to that project for Washington Department of Transportation to start that process earlier. The remaining $50 million will be available in 2023. So that interchange, there's some aerial pictures showing the constraints on that interchange. Where we're looking, see, this is 179th is running in this direction. The off-ramp, northbound off-ramp, is where this mouse is sitting. This is the northbound off-ramp. This is 10th Avenue here. This is Union Road here. Jolly's used to be located in this location. Here is the northbound on-ramp. And then the southbound off-ramp is right here. And southbound on-ramp. The interchange currently has only three lanes available underneath it, as well as the 179th improvements. The project also requires Delfell Road realignment. And in our capital facilities plan, we have an extension of 15th Avenue from 179th to 10th Avenue. At Delfell Road realignment, you're looking to the north right now from 179th on the west side of the interchange. Delfell Road right now connects directly into 179th and is not far distance away from the southbound off-ramp. The relocation of Delfell Road will go to the north of the Chevron station and connect directly into the intersection at Delfell and the 15th Avenue extension, kind of hard to see in this photo. You're looking south, you're north of 179, looking south. 15th Avenue is this road here. This road in our capital facilities plan is scheduled to be extended and connect directly to 10th. That connection would terminate the 10th Avenue connection at the interchange because here we have a capacity constraint located with the on-ramp. I believe that wraps up my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
What's the estimated cost of the project?
The
over ramp or the ramp?
40.
Oh, we're estimating about 40 million.
That's
not including the 50 million from the state.
From the county, county.
Okay. So 90 million.
Something in that neighborhood, yes.
How secure is the start time fund for 2023-2024?
It's been allocated. I'm not a state budget expert, but they have allocated money, and it's as far as we know, secured.
And what's the
The property to the north here is the mixed use. They want to develop residential, the apartment and single family homes, and they would like to do this soon.
The 60,000 is first, right?
The 60,000 is first. But I believe most of the development that you've seen that I've shown to you all are wanting to develop as soon as possible.
So, if all these developments would be in the full of the mind of all of the challenges in the plot?
It's likely, I don't know their own timing. They might be able to speak for themselves, but for the fact that the state funding or release of that 50 million, there's gonna be some pressure, as you will assume that be released early, if it's possible. And then the timing of when these other improvements are made is going to depend on the funding. Both private and public, that's what I mean.
That's looking north, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So the fairgrounds on the other side of the freeway?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just had a concern because I know there's been lawsuit after lawsuit over the amphitheater. I want to make sure that they were in proximity.
Well, they're in proximity regardless. The interchange is within spinning distance, so it's not like they're not in play, but...
I think you have an overlay of music.
Yeah.
What? Lawson after Lawson?
When Hinton first did that, built the amphitheater, the citizens out there filed lawsuits against the county and Hinton, et cetera, over noise abatement. That goes back several years, but I don't know where it is anymore, but originally it was litigation over it.
So... I remember when we took the parcels to the south and opened those up, and there was a large group of individual property owners on the north side of 179th that came in and asked for relief so they could sell their properties, so somebody could develop their property. And now, without utilizing all that we opened up on the south, we're going to the north at 179th, and the same people, I think, could come forward and said, you told us that we would be next, and now we're allocating the trips onto the other side, and they're still not going to be next. It seems somewhat disingenuous on our part that we're not sticking with the plan that we put forward before, and I have a concern about why, what's the reasoning that this is the right move for us?
The unique position of these parcels are the property owner that have taken all the trips have owned that property that's under urban holding. And they do have, according to our code, the ability to reallocate those trips that they've earned.
Okay, so I understand technically how we can do it. What I don't understand is whether we feel like we have no obligation to the people that we told a dozen years ago that they would be next.
You know, if they want to build the improvements, they can go next.
Well, of course.
Somehow the property for the improvements must be dedicated to the county, and the improvements must be constructed. This is difficult, complex, and expensive. And you know, not being the one who said it or didn't say it, I can't testify for sure, but I'm having difficulty with the notion that we told somebody, and you're next. Because there's no way we could have done that.
What we did was we said we're going to take care of south of 179, and then at the appropriate time, we will go north of 179 in a collective fashion. Of course, the money is able to dictate the timing, but for us, the idea that there's no available trips for any of the other property owners, and we continue to repeat that.
I can understand your frustration, but Chris is right. The improvements had to be made. The commitments have already been made in terms of the trip that was reserved for the initial DA that was approved by the council. So there is no capacity. As you know, our concurrency is first come, first serve. So in this case, and I think we are proceeding now with the developer that wants to, you know, develop their property, hopefully there will be improvements made and there will be capacity that could enable the other property owners to come online and want to mitigate their own impact. And I think over time, I think as we are doing it in phases, I suspect that, you know, it will all work out, but it will only take some time. That's all I can say at this point.
How many apartments is it?
And 200 homes.
Yeah, this is single family units, 400 to
200. And for the loan,
Robin, I could neither hear nor understand.
If I recall the slide, it talked about removal of the urban holding was if there was no alternatives.
Oh, go back to your criteria for removing urban holding then. I think that's what he's getting at.
There's alternative sites. So
yeah,
where do we sit there?
Yeah, I struggle with this criteria when it comes to lifting urban holding. And the reason I struggle with it is that the area already is in urban holding. Have already been planned for. So this criteria wouldn't really technically apply, in my opinion, but that's what we have to look at. So I'm not sure what alternative site we're going to be looking at for an area that is already planned for, that is in urban holding, that all we have to do is apply the other criteria to leave the urban holding. In this case, if I may, I think the issue is the infrastructure gap. And how do we now mitigate and plan for that gap? Not so much of finding another alternative site.
Yeah. No, I just want to be clear.
Yes, I hear you. Yes.
I mean, that makes more sense,
yes.
As Oliver said, when you're talking about, you know, changing an industrial designation to a residential designation.
Yes.
That makes sense. Here, the underlying zoning is in place, and it will remain there. So
as long as we can tick the box and say,
yes, we'll make the case.
Yes. To me, it seems quite more about the timing of how this all comes about.
Yes.
Either you can have no chaos or absolute chaos.
Yes.
And then what is that? You can some abilities to coordinate all that timing.
Yes, I agree.
Does the county have the ability to pull that all together in a development agreement with timelines and apply the interactions between state and local? And
No.
I can't guarantee that, but that is why someone who is coming in now will have to be able to mitigate. It's kind of like first, you're in first, and you want to move dirt, what are you going to be offering? Yeah. So with that, others can fall in line.
Let's go back to the apartment thing again. The PM peak hour of 402, are apartments calculated different than a resident? Is a resident, this is a question, residents are considered 10 total trips a day.
Yes.
Per resident, but apartments are not?
Correct.
Okay, the question to me then is why?
Apartments have a lower trip generation rate because they have less people.
And the answer is because the ITE manual
right.
says so.
ITE is the Institute of Transportation Engineers. It's a manual that's used throughout every jurisdiction in the U.S.
Okay, well, peak hour, that peak hour in the afternoon right there, what about the peak hour in the morning?
It's less. Peak hour is less.
It's spread out more?
Less generation in the AM.
And studies have shown that that's
the
case. That's why we're relying on it.
So how are we looking on the 40 million by 2023? Think we're going to be ready for it?
From the state? From
no,
the
we
county.
Got 50 from
oh,
the state,
from
but
the
40 from the county. We everybody's kind of. What's the reality that we'll be able to get it, make it happen?
Some of it will come through traffic impact fees, for example. I can't speak for the council whether they will, you know, look at. You know, the road fund, if you will, or whether they will pass a bond, that I don't know. Or read to, I have no idea. But those are some of the things that we have to be mindful of, and how are we going to partner with the public sector, with the private sector to fund what is needed here. So some of them will be willing to put up some funding up front.
The 15th Avenue extension from 179 to 10th Avenue is currently in our 6-year transportation improvement program. It's not
useless. Isn't that 6-year program projected right now to be negative?
No, I don't think
yep.
so.
Yeah.
The 20
years.
The 20 years.
Okay.
Yes. So what's the history then of actually fully implementing the transportation improvement plans within the designated time frame of like 6 years? Is it 100% implementation, 60% implementation? What's the historical trend?
For
6-year concurrency.
I would say that we have been, the county have been very, pretty much close to keeping to that. Some of it is funding, some of it is, you know, funded to a grant. So if we are lucky, we tend to meet that 6-year time frame. It, does that mean that certain things don't come off? Certain projects will come off, and we make adjustments based on the funding that is available and the priorities that the council puts and the criteria, economic issue, economic significance of the projects, we name it.
So in theory, if the council had 10 projects on the 6-year plan and it costed 100 million, this was project number 7, they could re-decide all the priorities and push money from those.
Yes. Right. And it, that could be done for, you know, if for any variety of reasons.
Our urban holding history has historically been done through development.
Does anybody know what our current absorption rates are per development currently in Clark County? Absorption rates for single family home and
We do monitor that. I just don't know what it is off my
head. 4 or 5.
When we do that, we look countywide.
Countywide, yeah.
Yeah, so I know one of my staff that do that is sitting back there. So I can't say the assumption is 75% of what we designated in the urban growth boundary will be single family, and 25% will be multi-family. But I think we are coming closer to that, to be honest with you, but I don't have that off my head.
Well, the question I'm asking is, what's the absorption rate per development? So if we've got a 200-unit development, if it's four to five units per month, it's going to take 3.5-4 years once the development's in to even be developed fully out to be able to generate the trips.
Oh.
The 326, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So even though, I mean, so it's not going to impact in 2020 when they're, you know, ready to start selling.
No, you're absolutely correct.
It's going to be a few years.
Yeah, I can say that, you know, some of these subdivisions, sometimes it take up to a year or two or three to complete or run its course.
Yeah, that's going
to
take a few years.
I know that some of the developers are back there, they can chime in, but yes, it could take up to 2 or 3 years to complete one subdivision.
Okay, so the traffic impacts, it's going to take a few years, and for the developer's sake, hopefully it happens sooner rather than later, but depending upon the economy, all those things, there's a lot of ifs in there, but
they're
not all going to be fully generated.
And I think
by the time we get the funding for the overpass.
To Robin's point, you know, having most of the development built out and then starting the interchange and the 15th Avenue extension all at the same time that you've got, you know, a high level of the units occupied, is probably the worst case scenario from the standpoint of the public goes, but that's how the funding mechanism works.
Did it build the center overpasses? We all lived there through it, so.
Well, some of you did. Right. Yeah.
Sure, we'll be all right.
Turning it away from transport, what happens when...
Speak up, Robin.
Turning the whole issue away from transport, what happens with other community type services like recreation facilities? Where does that all fit into the equation?
So along with transportation improvement, impact fees, development also pays park impact fees and school impact fees. Those impact fees fund those necessary services. The other services that are needed for urban holding are water and sewer. Those water and sewer capacities have been demonstrated in our comprehensive plan to have the adequate capacity to serve there.
So what school district are we talking about?
Ridge.
Nice. Short bus ride.
Fill up that new junior.
Yeah.
So we can build another high school.
See you on September 6th at 6:30.
Great. That's
thank you.
Fresh back from the holiday break.
How about you? I'm going to be working all weekend.